Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. It's good to see some faces. I know some family are here visiting. I just involved some of our family that are here as well. Thanks for coming through. I know you are. It's always good. It's always good to be church family. I think the last time I saw some of you, you know, half of your church was at our church in South Auckland a couple of months ago. I was sitting and I was speaking, and then I looked, hey, Karen, he's like, Natalia's hiding at the back there. Okay, yeah, I think they were, I don't know what they were there for a moment, but I had to pray for them. And they all came up and gave their lives to Jesus. So I looked at them and said, you know? Hey, look, it's so good to be here. This is my second time here. And man, I love this place. It reminds me of the raw days of Every Nation Southside in Auckland. Not to say that you guys are raw, you know, but I just remember when we first started out in South Auckland. Some of the church members here remember those times too. You know, setting up and breaking down and just getting involved. The drive, some of us would come from a far, you know, from a long way just to get to church on the Sunday mornings. But it wasn't about how cool we look, it wasn't about how famous we were, because we weren't. And we're still not. What it was family, getting together and hanging out and just being together. There's something about with Every Nation that talks about relationships. Relationships are key. And that's what we really wanted to drive into our church family at home, that it's about relationships. We all dress up well, and I put my makeup on, and I combed my hair this morning. I put all that to be here, this morning, but I don't look like this every summer. I'm sure, like every week throughout the week. And so, I just encourage you guys to continue to build outside of the Sunday morning. And that's key for longevity, to be very honest with you. And you can build with a lot of Christians outside of Every Nation Logan, which is awesome and good. But try and learn and grow and pray about how you build tight relationships within this church, within the house that God has purposed for you to be part of. And that God is walking you through your journey 10, 20, 30. Some of us have been in this church for plus 20 plus years. So we understand longevity. We've seen people come and go, but we've seen when you have tight-knit within your household, spiritual family like this, and you just go through leaps and bounds of just how awesome God is through the amazing times and through the rough times as well. So let me encourage you. The rawness of Every Nation Logan is something about relationships here and community. And so I just want to encourage you guys here. I didn't even start preaching, I'm so sorry. But I'll better start now. Let's see. Okay.
You told me this was working, didn't
you? No, I don't. Tradition is, you have to put up a family photo. Every nation you do when you travel, you got to put up a family photo. We have no family photos. We're the worst. We have photos of each other, but not with, as a family. So this is probably the latest photo that someone finally gathered us together. And obviously, it's my youngest son at the back, Joey. He's still at high school. He's got one more year in high school, and he's a bit of a character. He loves us creative arts in regards to film and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens there. If he becomes the next Lord of the Rings or something like that, who knows? My other son, Maya, I think he was here a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And they tell Pastor Nami this. He hopped in the car, and he got to church, and then he calls me while we're at church. He goes, "Dad," I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "I'm at Bonelli's church. I wanted to get a Logan." I said, "How come?" He goes, "I know everyone at Logan, but I was so excited. I turned up with, I didn't know anybody here." I was today you should start building money. Yeah, so hopefully next time he comes, he'll get to come and hang out with you. So that's him. He's freshly in uni. I don't know if he's doing his schoolwork. But we'll see at the end of the year. If he comes to me and says, man, I need to take a gap year. Rowena, my wing, she's amazing, man. She's, you know, her brother is actually Nelly as well. So, you know, it's funny when I hear, you know, their brother and sister are so tight. So when you hear them argue, I just leave the room. You know, as much as they act pastors and Christians, when they argue, I think, nah, leave it to you guys. Yeah, but she's amazing. She's at home and she said they love her. You know, she's not here. So, yeah, that's just a little background about our family. You know, I have the privilege of talking about you guys on the sermon series called One Another. Keep my head around. But, yeah, and I know that it's about gathering together, right? So what a perfect sort of time for me to be here. Because it is like, you know, what's it? It's what I love is community, is gathering, is and building with people. I'm not sure kind of evangelist that goes out on the street and preaches, you know, on the corner. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, I'm a gatherer based off hanging out with people. And if you understand when you hang out with people and build that way to bring them to church, the first thing is you don't build relationships with them just to get into the church. You build relationships to become friends with them.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yes.
And then you trust God that God will bring them to church. Mm. If they don't, they want friends. That are outside of your normal community of people that are here in church. And so today we get to talk about an audience again. I would say, oh, yeah, community and hanging, and then we're going to talk about learning. But there's a purpose to it, okay? So, you know, and I just want to start with a scripture. It's Luke 4:18. I don't have it up here, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. And so I just want to start with that because I'll probably, you know, I want you to have that sort of this scripture on your heart this morning, because that's you, that's me. And this is Jesus saying his words that he's quoting from the Old Testament as well. And so I want us to have that position in our heart, that verse, that we're anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. Okay? And the scriptures that I'll be focusing on is around, I think it's Psalm 68. We heard a little bit of some of that psalm this morning. Steph read it from about verses 1 to 6. I'm not going to go through all those verses. I'm just going to take a snippet of it, and then I'll just give you some stories behind how that relates to my life and how it can relate to your life. And so, you know, when you look at those first part of us, Psalms in verses from, I think it's about from 1 to 4. You know, I'll put up verse 4, but we can come back to that. You know, in the actual Psalms from 1 to 4, the whole psalm itself is actually a victory song. You know, it's David singing a victory song, and it's believed it's when he brought the ark into Jerusalem and he was dancing in front of it, and this was the song. It was a, you know, a victory song. And I believe this victory song was sung, as I said, when David brought the ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. And I think of that victory song, that's what I think of, is the chant. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! 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 That's an Australian chant. You know, this chant, it's funny, but this particular chant was widely used during the 2000 Sydney Olympics. And that's when it actually came about. And being heard, and then after that, you start to hear it a lot more, you know, after the 2000 Olympics, to the point where this chant became commonly heard at even international places and events where Australian people were at. And so obviously I was hoping, and I hope it works this morning.
Aussie.
Thank you for participating and making me feel secure. I just wanted to use that as an example that this is just a quick background of that, the psalm, Psalm 68. That it was like a victory song, a victory chant of a particular battle that David and his men had won. And then you look into these next two verses, which is probably what I'm going to focus on today, and it takes a little shift, right? And the shift in this victory song, it's still a victory song, but it takes a shift, and it sings about what God offers in this victory of his. And verse 6, you'll look, and it says this. Verse 5, it says, he is the father of the fatherless, and he's protector of widows, is God and his holy dwelling. So all of a sudden, Aussie, oi, oi, oi. And all of a sudden, can you help the poor? Can you help the fatherless? Can you help the widow?
That's good.
But the reason, it's not like a shift, like, oh, no, that's not me. It was a victory cry because it's like, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
We can help the fatherless. We can help the widow. We can help the poor. And that's the victory cry that, you know, this next snippet goes into. You know, and I totally relate to this verse personally. Because, you know, my dad passed away when I was 12. He was only 42 years old. You know, and he had passed away. I was 12 years old. And so what, that made my mom a widow, right? And as long as I was, you know, in the seat of this meat, I had hair at the time. I lost it the following year. It's the shampoo that I use. You know, and this is me at the age of 13. So this is a year after my father had passed away. And the funny thing about this is I became a loose cannon. You know, my father was strict in a silent way. You know, he wasn't that abusive. I did have victory over there and stuff. But as soon as my father had passed away, and you know, my mom was caring for the rest of us, I became this loose cannon, and I just became ruthless. I became a troubled guy, you know, a young kid, got into a lot of trouble. This is me, you know, with some friends that are a lot older than me. This is in the city of Auckland. I'm on the main street of Auckland, Queen Street. And I'm sitting there, you know, this 13-year-old. My mom has no idea where I am, but I find my way into the city. And I'm looking around, I'm getting into a lot of trouble. And so I understand what that verse, you know, father of the fatherless, protector of the widows. And it just makes me think of my upbringing and how much I was a nuisance to my mom. You know, bringing me up. Praise God that, you know, God's grace and here I am today. I love, you know, just where I'm with life and everything else is another story. But, you know, I mean, I found God, the Father, you know, when it talks about Father of the Fathers. It's where I found a true Father. Now, you know, it was when I turned 16 years old. And I just remember there was a time I said, man, you know, I didn't have a dad. And this is what 4 years later now. I said, man, what do I do? And I just clearly hear that there was the Holy Spirit of God, just a voice, and I know, you know, it's just that moment saying to me, I'll be your father. I'll be your dad. And I'm like, wow, okay, what does that look like? Because the good things that I know about my dad, I remember in my whole life because of the short time he lived. Probably I can count on one hand. And so there's not much I can remember him about. I remember God saying, you keep those five or four things, you know, and nurture that for the rest of your life. This is when I was 16 years old. And he goes, I will show you the rest. And whether he showed it in just revelation, you know, of just being in his presence in my life growing up as a young kid, or he showed it in relationships with other dads and other people, other old men that I just would, you know, see in church and some of the actions that they would do. And so, you know, it was amazing that I was able to walk there. Now, at 16, I was still not a good kid, but at least there was a journey from that young that the father of the fathers, you know, was taking me on the street. And to protect me, you know, and even that, to
to protect my heart as a word. And then, you know, we go on to verse 6. And this is what verse 6 says. It says that God settles the lonely in a home, and he leads out the prisoners to prosperity. And I want to bring our attention to this part where it says God settles the lonely in a home. Okay? Let me bring some reality to what the sentence means to you and I today. You know, this year, in 2003, that's this year, right? there's this particular, if you see behind me, here's the statistics that have gone out just this year, and it's in regards to the next generation here in Australia. And it's a cook over. They did a research and started around 2018 and 2019. And the study was of young adults. And the ages were between 18 to 35. And so if you know the sort of names of generations, it's sort of like the millennials. So you're a millennial if you were born between ages between 1981 and 1996. So who was born in 1996 in here? Were you born in 1996? No? Anyone? Okay. Anyone born in between those years? 96? Yeah. I mean, I was just finishing high school. So those are the millennials. If you were born between the ages of 1981 and 1996, and then there's Generation Z, which are those that are born between 1997 and 2012. And so anyone in there, between 1997 and 2012? Yeah, there you go, man. Gosh. Okay. It just shows how old I am in the life. You know, and the rest of you, we love you guys. And you know, in this particular research, it's funny because let me read what they've done. In 2018-2019, we worked on a study of young adults, ages between 18 to 35, and at the time, it was Barna's largest study, a unique international effort to understand just emerging adults. It revealed that young adults in this particular age that I just mentioned, they contend with strong currents of anxiety, of loneliness, and skepticism. But look, listen here, for Australia, this is Australia. Mental health in Australia is the greatest concern to teens. So, unsurprisingly, teens want to attend churches that prioritize this issue. It's from this book here, if you want to jump online and grab it. It's got all these different stats about what they believe in Christianity and what church means to them. These are both people that they call, young ones that call themselves Christians and ones that don't. And so it's very interesting statistics. My question is this: how do we as Christians invite those who are lonely to settle into a home? Home meaning a church, which I'll get into that very shortly. Remember, God settles the lonely in a home. When things like loneliness and anxiety, some of the highest things in our generation, in millennials and Gen Z. It's very interesting, eh? Very different because when we were our generation, you got everything slapped out of you. ADHD?
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. How do we as Christians avoid those who are, lonely to settle in a home? You know, when I think of this scripture here, this Matthew 6:16-18, this is a story where Jesus, he's healing people, he's speaking to all these big crowds, doing all these miracles and things, and then all of a sudden he gets some time, he sits down and he's sitting with his disciples, and then he goes, hey, all those people out there that we catch up with, who do they say I am? You know, and some of his disciples are saying, oh, do you think you're a prophet? think you're, you know, from the generation of Abraham and Moses and all that. You know, they think you're just this great leader that's come to win us back, you know, take over Jerusalem for us. And then Simon, then Peter, he goes, no, no, but you're Jesus, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus goes, wow, okay, blessing you, Peter, because it wasn't flesh and blood, revelation of God taught you that right now. Yeah. And so, and then this is what he says, he goes, you know what, guys, I tell you, Peter, that on this rock, meaning, you know, that I am Christ, I'm the Son of God, the living God, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church on. The church is going to be built on me, on Jesus. And that's what this verse is saying. And he was saying, and nothing is going to get you, not even the gates of hell will prevail. Now, this passage records for the first time this word church. You know, this passage records the first time that the word church is actually mentioned. And let me quickly explain the translation of the word church here is the call elements. But so, you know, I mean, I think it's cool because within this church building, you know, this facility that we're sitting right now, I mean, you and I are actually called out. We're the church. We are called out to represent Jesus in the places that you tread and the places that you set your feet on every day. You are called out. But isn't it funny, then, because we're so used to that word church in a different way. Hey, what time is church? Oh, you know, I'm serving at church this morning. Hurry up, we're late for church! You know, they come. You know, and this meaning gets lost in our context because we use the word church to refer to the places where believers they actually gather to worship, which is what we're doing right now. Nothing wrong with that, right? We you know, continue to emphasize doing that. And the church refers to gathering of people who have been called out to a specific purpose. And so Jesus wasn't referring to a physical structure. He referred to the church as a group of people. That's so important to me. You know, and I've learned, I mean, nowhere in the Bible is the word church ever really used in reference to a building. You know, in a biblical sense, the church, well, it's not a building to start off with. But it's rather the called out ones that you and I. They are the called out, you know, it's first off, you're called out of sin and you're called out into eternal life with Christ. That's the first thing. You know, and I think that the best description of this called out one in the Bible is in this next verse here, where it says, in 1 Peter, you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out, first off out of darkness, and then into the marvelous light, meaning giving your life and relationship to Jesus. That was the first calling out. And that's what the, you know, what it is first. But most importantly, you know, so what I'm saying is I've learned that the church isn't just about turning up on Sunday. Like we have today, there's nothing wrong with it. But most importantly, it's about how we live throughout the week as a person who is called out, who is church, to represent Jesus and to represent Him well in the spheres of our workplaces, in our schools, amongst our family, and our friends. Let me give you some examples. You know, this is what, for me, on a personal sort of life that I live back at home, what called out looks like, doing church out. There's a photo here of our boxing dude that I attend. Most of these guys, might have cut this out of the recording, most of these guys are gang members. They run the street. And they're amazing guys. Some of my closest friends still affiliated, so my thing was just to go and learn and be coached by these guys, and train them, and just to build. It wasn't until later they found out that I was a cheer pastor, and they buzzed up because they just think, wow, okay, we're different, But my relationship with these guys was built over these last 3 years. And this is my outlet of going outside of my church walls back at home. To be called out. Another example is this is another gym that I attend. Some of these guys in this gym are also gang members. I joined that gym just to build the people as well. These are just some important parts of my life of me going on. Another thing is I'm part of this. I do music outside of church. So for those that don't know me, I've always done music outside of church professionally, outside of the secular world, before I became a pastor. And the funny thing is I still do that even to this day. We're currently on tour, our band, and we're getting ready for just different bits at the moment. So the church knows, I'll come and preach, I'll go play at an event, and then come and preach the next day, But the cool thing is I'm able to tell them stories of this, what God is doing. We're getting ready, all of these guys are not saved. Most of these guys are all my Maori mates, Maori heart, Navy boys. So, these Navy boys are drunk and sailor guys, But once again, they know that I'm a pastor. But the key thing is I'm able to get into this environment because I'm a professional musician. So I put myself there. And so, and it's funny, how you get to talk with them more and more over these last few years that I've been with them. And I'll tell them, I actually used to go to church. Well, my dad was actually a minister, church minister. All these stories come out. Oh, my dad's a pastor down here, and so I've just sort of gone away from that. So the journey with these guys, they will never step in church yet. But even if it's not in relation, I don't care. What's the call out one? It's called out of your sin, out of darkness, into light. It's before a church building. Does that make sense?
Right, yes.
And so, and then this last place, I'm actually a uni student as well. But I share these, I'm studying at the moment, I've been studying for quite a while now, I'm halfway through my studies. And similar to the pastor here, he's the same, we're trying to hustle our way through. Most people say that, are you sure you did it or did your wife? Your studies. No, she did that as well. Funny story. So we were all doing Every Nation Seminary, which is Pastor Edwin's doing right now. Me and Alan were in the same cohort. And thing is, my wife was, she's an English major, so she's very good. She actually would read a lot of people's PhDs and master's, just to give her that to read. Fun. Me and Alan, Pastor Alan, and we do our assignments. So our assignments are always due at the same time. So we always try to beat each other to get to the winning person to check it, because we know she's in a good mood for the first round, but whoever comes in second, she just, oh man! And then we, the difference of coming in first and getting an A versus coming in second and getting a B. So we always will try to compete, but I don't know why she's there. But anyway, here I am, I'm studying. And even that itself is a different group of people. It's to be very honest, it's an academic group. And even that, this university that I'm on, they're not Christian. And the people that I work with, and my supervisors, and things like that, and the topic that I'm doing, that I'm researching, is all based around Christianity. And so it's sort of rocks in, right? They challenge me, but I challenge them back. But it's just another environment of being outside of the church walls. Yeah. Now, you may think, you do this. That's normal life. It is. But I use it as being someone that's called out. Yeah. Everything I do is to glorify God. That's honest truth. Everything I put my hand on is to glorify God. And, understanding that I get to be with church family like this on a Sunday morning. It's some of the best things. I love being with church family on Sunday morning. But we are always encouraged that it doesn't just stay here.
Yeah.
How did you get here? You know? What brought you here? And I share those examples of these people, you know, are searching as well. The people that you are connecting with. And so they're watching you. They're watching you as a follower of Jesus. They're watching you because hopefully they'll come and talk to you, you know, because they can see something different about this person. You know, we have a few friends in there that are Christian musicians like myself. They are amazing worship leaders and amazing musicians at church on Sunday morning. But their life is so crooked and crooked outside of the city room. We're our part. And, you know, that does my head. Because everything in me wants to choke hold of it. Not my teeth up. Because it's like, I'm coming in to represent. I'm representing to be called out because I've come out from the darkness into the light and I'm coming into this environment. And then you guys are doing totally the opposite. You're being called out. You're in a church. Multiple people are worshipping God while you're leading. Yet, the way you were partying the month before, the way that you were up to no good. Did you come and you lead me? What a hypocrite. And I say that as a musician to another musician. But I've had to let it go. Because it just stirs me up. You know? And so when I see them up there, I just think, man, God, have your way. Your God, not me. If I was God, you know, it wouldn't be good. You know what I mean? So what I'm just saying is, why would people that are lonely, why would people that are searching want to come into this environment, this church building, if you are a church and you call it out out there?
Yeah.
You know, what church should really be? So that's the challenge. And it's a journey. Because none of us are perfect. Remember, I was 16 when God sort of said, I'm your father.
Luca.
And my life wasn't great. You know? So it's a journey. You know? Don't give up. Wherever you are at, that's fine. You're here today, that's fine.
Amen.
Praise God that you're here. And the journey of it, it's an ongoing thing. And God has not forgotten. Not forgotten. And so, this is the other way I want to finish. This is the question. I mean, and let me close by saying this. You know, once again, in order for the lonely, meaning lonely, then, you know, you can be so full on and extroverted and so out there, you know, and happy go lucky. You've got many friends and enjoying life, whether you're a Christian or not, but you can still be lonely. It's not the best place to be. And so you build that kind of relationships within a church community like this. And so, in order for the lonely to come into a place like this, you and I need to have a heart, first a heart, to want to go out. I want to conclude with this question. How is your life being called out to represent Jesus outside of these walls? Remember, we're all on a different journey. Some of us are probably this season we may be on fire for God, I'm loving it, and God's doing some amazing things. Or you may be just like, man, I'm just barely making it. And that's okay. Because God is good. God is good. The journey, and like I said, the longevity is the key. Some of us in here have been walking in the church for 20 plus years, seeing the ups and downs. And we continue to see, we just know God is God. Okay. So before I pray, I'm trying to read the scripture. And I want you to leave here today with this question on, you know, maybe you can talk to somebody afterwards. You know what? This question, I'm not even ready for. Once again, it's okay. It's a journey. You're in the right right place to talk to people to help. You know? Maybe I fire for God to encourage others, you know, in your walk right now. Before I pray, can you just bow our heads? I'll finish with the scripture we are praying. I started with the scripture and I said to you, this is you and I, this is Jesus calling us out. This is what he said, that the Spirit of the Lord is on you. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Father, I just thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for just who you are in our lives right now. God, I know each and every person in here, even myself, we're just all at different seasons in our relationship with you. Sometimes we have great seasons. Some of us might not be in the best season. But Lord, something tells me that every single one of us still look to you for help. We call out to you. We ask you. You know, we know that you're speaking to each and every one of us. So Father, I just thank you for this time. Lord, when we think of this this topic today of being lonely, Father, and that, you know, just in that psalm, that you are the father to the fatherless, and that you protect the widow. You know, that's, you know, I pray that even some people that may be feeling lonely in this time in their life right now, the answer is in you. And so we ask that you cover each and every one of us and these kind of decisions that we're trying to make in our lives. Father, I even pray that as people feel, what does calling out mean? And what does being called out, what does it look like for me outside of these walls, where I am an amazing Christian in here, but it's hard to be Christian outside of these walls. Lord, help me. How do I be called out? You know, how do I be the church to the lonely that are out there? Lord, and I just pray that you just show a revelation, just like you showed Peter when you said that, on this rock, I will build my church. The rock being Jesus, the foundation of Jesus. I will build my church. I will build those that are called out, and not even the gates of hell will prevail. We thank you, Father, for this time, for this season.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.